Good morning, everybody. Brian Newbert here again from goldenblack.com, live at home once again. This is your goldenblack.com daily quarantine simulcast. My co-host today will be my neighbor's riding lawnmower. This is brought to you by Fouts Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the Sixth Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. I want to remind you, as always, the Sixth Street Dive Restaurant in Lafayette, Arnie's in Lafayette, West Lafayette, and all over the state. Bruno's in West Lafayette and the Whitaker Inn in West Lafayette all remain open for carryout orders. So if you're looking once again for damn good food or simply to support our local businesses, please keep them in mind. The Sixth Street Dive Restaurant, Arnie's, Bruno's, and the Whitaker Inn. I want to remind you also, if you're accessing this via YouTube, please subscribe to our channel. Once the world starts spinning again, there's the riding lawnmower. We will have lots of Purdue stuff up there you will want quick access to. So please, if you're accessing this via YouTube, please hit that subscribe button. I'm sorry, I'm late today with this. Ordinarily, I have this posted much sooner. I had an interview with Purdue Athletic Director Mike Babinski. That obviously was important. So this got pushed back a little bit. Talking to Babinski obviously brings to the forefront some big picture topics about where college sports are right now, most notably football season. So I thought I would just take this opportunity today to talk once again about, you know, the college football season and what may or may not happen. I have prepared very little for this, so this is just going to be a little bit of a streaming flow of consciousness here. More than anything, isn't that the most entertaining sort of analysis, the runaway train variety? I watched the NFL draft last night, as I'm sure a lot of people did. I haven't seen any numbers yet, but I would imagine America's thirst for any sort of original sports programming, any sort of event-based sports product, probably led to some pretty astronomical ratings. I thought ESPN did a great job with the broadcast. I didn't really miss a whole lot from how it is normally. I think the NFL deserves to be commended for continuing to make an event out of this. I thought this is exactly what the country needed, something to happen. The NFL could have done this any number of ways, but it did make every effort to make an event out of this, when I think it was a very healthy thing for us to have some sort of taste of normalcy, as we know normalcy. So I think the NFL deserves a lot of credit for moving forward and continuing to make this an event. I think ESPN deserves a lot of credit for making this a easily consumable television product when this was obviously as non-traditional as it gets. And it kind of just brought to mind for me what I've talked about here before. It's just how important I think the football season, specifically the college football season, can be as we all kind of heal from what we're dealing with right now collectively into whatever our new normal is going to be. I think, you know, sports were a big part of bringing this thing to the forefront, the NBA suspending its season and then the subsequent cancellation of the NCAA tournament really were the sirens that started this whole thing off, I think, in terms of the public really digesting this as a big deal. And I think the return of sports can be one of the big moments, the watershed moments in us moving beyond this. And I think the college football season can be an enormous part of that. I have a vested interest, obviously, in the college football season. My line of work depends on it. You have a vested interest in the college football season in the sense that you obviously are invested in it as well. Putting all of that aside, putting all of my personal preferences and, you know, potentially biases aside, I have always been of the opinion, and this is not exactly the hottest of takes here, that I think every stakeholder involved in this, whether it be governmental, whether it be higher education, whether it be the athletic departments themselves, I think every effort must be made to have some sort of a college football season. I think the country needs it. I think it can be a really positive thing as we get through this. I think, obviously, it is not a simple matter, but I think, you know, we have smart people working on this. We have motivated people working on this, and we are America, damn it, and we can figure it out. The NFL figured out their draft last night. Totally different deal. I understand that. But there have to be ways out there that something can be done to have some sort of college football season. I say that understanding fully and believing in every ounce of my heart, every little nook and cranny of my heart, that this it would have to be done in as responsible and safe a way as physically possible. I don't want to hear about death rates. I don't want to hear about mortality. I don't want to hear about what age group is less likely to die from this than anything else. The death of the infected is not the only negative outcome in this. There are negative outcomes all over the place. I know a guy who was in a medically induced coma who lost probably 20% of his body weight to this and now has to pay for it. He was breathing through a freaking machine for I don't know how long. And that is not a positive outcome, guys. And now he and his family have to pay for it. The economic ramifications of such things matter. That is a negative outcome. So I don't want to hear about how young people are less likely to die from this than other age groups. Young people can give it to people who are more likely to die. This is not as simple as, will college football players die from this if they go play and get infected? I don't want to hear about death rates. I want to hear about safety. And obviously everybody is going to have a stake in keeping people safe if there are college football games to be played. Obviously, the groundwork is going to have to be laid in terms of have to have widespread testing. I think that is a given. There's going to have to be extensive new medical protocols involved. Oversight is going to have to be through the roof. Obviously, the college football extravaganza is going to have to be scaled down to a certain extent. If the stands are empty, maybe people can go sit in the stands instead of on the sidelines. Maybe people can be up in the press box. The medical oversight would have to be aggressive, shall we say, clearly. There would have to be an opt-out of some kind for potential participants who would not be comfortable if there are concerns. The question of whether or not college football can be played if school isn't physically open. That's where it's like, why not? School is online. School can be a lot of different things. You know how they say age is just a number? Well, school is just an experience, and experiences come in a lot of ways. I know online school is not the same as physical brick and mortar school, but and a huge part of the college experience is being around other people, being out in a community, being part of a community, not being tied to a laptop or an iPad. But that being said, I do think online school is school, and if school is going on, school is in session, I don't see why you can't have a percentage of your population in place. I have some ideas on this in terms of an infrastructure for how a major university could go about things, perhaps taking turns who's using campus what semester and what schools or academic programs are online that semester, and then flip them. That way you kind of make your population a little less dense, you spread out your facilities. Those are half-baked ideas on my part, and I would like to keep them in the oven a little bit longer before I articulate them, although I already just have, so joke's on me. But there are 150 athletes in and around campus right now at Purdue, according to Mike Babinski. That's a football roster. I understand there's dozens and dozens of other people who go into, putting on a college football team. I know there would be a volleyball season, there would be a cross-country season, there would be a soccer season in time. If there are 150 people right here now, if you can push that number to 250, conceivably thin out your density a little bit on campus. If you can boil things down to essential versus non-essential, and you can designate athletes as essential, there are workarounds here that smart and creative and motivated people, I'm sure, can come up with. I am not necessarily any of those things, but it does seem like there's a solution here if people look hard enough, and everybody should have more than enough reason to look hard enough. At the end of the day, look, this is a public safety issue. This is a public health issue. But this is also an economic issue. I know people are really hurting economically. I get that. I don't believe we can rush into something at the risk of making it feel worse or making it worse. Nobody wants the economy shut down. Nobody is enjoying this. I do think from a college football perspective, it matters. I don't think anybody here is sitting here and thinking that, you know, coaches who make $4 or $5 million a year are really the victims here, more so than people who work in factories, people who own restaurants, whatever it may be. This is devastating economically, devastating. But when you look at what college football does from an economic perspective, you look at what a college football Saturday can do for hotels, for restaurants. I know normalcy may not resume right away, to the point where the hotels and the restaurants are necessarily the beneficiaries right away. But there are a lot of custodians. There are a lot of athletic department employees. There are a lot of people who still make money off of athletic departments making money. They make their livelihoods off of it. And anything that can be done to salvage a college football season, to get that TV money in the hands of the people who then redistribute it to those custodians, to those athletic department staffers, to the people whose livelihoods depend on college football, to the advertisers who may want to be part of this as well. Who knows what advertising is going to look like as part of our new normal when all of this starts to subside. I don't know. This matters. This matters economically, even if there are no fans in the stands. This matters in any number of ways. This matters to the American spirit. This matters all over the place. This matters to the people involved. This is their lives. This is college football players' lives. Their educations are tied to it. This matters. College football matters. It is not a luxury. It is not a niche. It is a part of our economy. And I think that it is really important that some sort of college football season take place. Obviously, it is not going to be traditional, potentially, in terms of there being 80,000 people sitting hip to hip in stadiums. It may not be traditional in terms of any number of aspects of this. It may not be a traditional calendar. It may not be a complete season. Who knows? But if they can just get a solution here where you can get any semblance of a season, this is not easy. I'm not shooting this video here trying to suggest this is easy. The Big Ten alone has 14 schools all over the country. Maryland has not been affected the same way as Indiana has. Maryland, the East Coast, has had it much worse. Rutgers is in a very different position than the state of Indiana has been. In a couple months, who knows, that might flip. We don't necessarily know. Every state has been affected by this differently. You cannot treat the Big Ten with one blanket policy. You cannot treat anything with any sort of blanket policy because everything's different everywhere. I'm just saying that the powers that be at the NCAA, at the individual universities, I think this is something that is really important, you know, from a financial perspective, but also the heartbeat of respective universities. I think it's really important for the country to have a sign of healing from all of this. Obviously, nobody knows how this is going to end. For all we know, we could come a long way. The curve could be flattened. Testing could be all over the place. We could be swimming in tests, for all we know, here in a couple months. I hope that's the case. I don't know that's the case. Our health infrastructure should be a little bit less strained here in a couple months, one would think, depending on how this unfolds all over the place. The world could be very different in a couple months. The world could improve. Football, as we know it, could return in full. Obviously, I think that's the best case scenario. But I think, obviously, right now is the time for the stakeholders involved in this to prepare for every possible scenario. And finding ways to prepare for the worst case scenario and do it in as safe and responsible a manner as possible, understanding that we can't just look at this like college football players are unlikely to die from this, so they're fine to play. I think, you know, there's all sorts of nuance involved in this that has to be considered. There's any number of green lights that have to be illuminated for this to happen. It's going to come from the federal government. It's going to come from the state government. It's going to come from the NCAA. It's going to come from the individual universities themselves, not all of which are on the same page in terms of how their communities have been affected. But I think, you know, Dr. Fauci said a while back that I think baseball games can be played as long as the players can be quarantined and there are no fans in the stands. Great. So that's at least one indication from at least the federal level, from an expert medical level, that there is hope alive. And I think once hope is alive, hope needs to be explored in every way, shape, or form from here on out, because these universities need college football. America needs college football. A lot of people need college football, and it's more than just a game in that sense. I think the NFL draft last night was a wonderful thing, because we have been starved for any sort of glimpse of life as we previously knew it, and that's exactly what that was. I understand the draft is a different deal than getting a few hundred people into the same facility to execute a college football game, but I think there are probably some compromises here to be found by those who look hard enough, with enough motivation, enough will, enough ingenuity. And I think now is the time for those very people to be coming up with every plan under the sun to find one that is viable. It may be impossible. I don't know. If it is at all possible, it needs to be made to happen. That is my opinion on the matter. Obviously, I am a stakeholder in college football, so take that for what it's worth in the interest of full disclosure, but that is my take on the matter. This is a topic we will continue to cover from here on out, obviously, but that's basically what we got for this point in time. There's really no known here, but hopefully at some point in time there will be. That's what I got. That was probably not bad for really having no script whatsoever. I wrote down like 7 words here, and that came out of it. So can't say that turned out all that bad. Can't say the riding lawnmower outside was really much of a distraction either. So that's what I got. Thank you, everybody. I will have all sorts of stuff at goldenblack.com next week from my conversation with Mike Babinski just now on this very topic and a lot of others. So please stay tuned to goldenblack.com. Once again, this has been your goldenblack.com daily quarantine simulcast, brought to you by Fogg's, Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Chargers Team Remax Ability Plus. Want to remind you once again, if you're looking for a damn good dinner or just to support our local businesses, please keep in mind the 6th Street Dive in Lafayette, Arnie's in Lafayette, West Lafayette, and all over the place, Bruno's in West Lafayette, and the Whitaker Inn in West Lafayette. All of them remain open for carryout orders, and I'm sure they'd love to hear your voices. So for Brian Newbert from goldenblack.com, as well as the riding lawnmower next door, this has been your goldenblack.com daily quarantine for Friday. We will talk to you again Monday. Thanks, everybody. Have a good weekend, and take care of yourself.